On the program today, inflation, cheese, and your taxes. Not necessarily in the same story. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdal. It is Tuesday, today the 11th of January. Good as always to have you along, everybody. You know, you look up anticlimactic in the dictionary this afternoon, there's a picture of Jay Powell at his confirmation hearing this morning. And he told the Senate Banking Committee what he told all the rest of us at his post-meeting press conference last month. Interest rates are going up soon-ish. The Fed's balance sheet is going to shrink. He is worried about the virus and the labor market and the supply chain. Inflation a little bit, too. Lather, rinse, repeat, I think, applies here. Honestly, not to make light, but his confirmation is not really in doubt. Current Fed Governor Lael Brainard gets her turn at the long green table in front of the Senate Banking Committee on Thursday. One of the realities, speaking of inflation, as we were, of the economic data that we keep an eye on this program is that it looks backward. Lagging indicator is the parlance. And top of the lagging list this week, inflation in December, as told by the Consumer Price Index, which comes out tomorrow. One higher cost that a lot of Americans are dealing with? Rent. According to Apartment List, median rent, and remember that's half above, half below, median rent nationally is up 18% over the past year. But you look at the rent component of the most recent CPI, Consumer Price Index, that's up only 3%. Marketplace's Amy Scott explains what's going on there.
When Tess Hill stands in the middle of her junior one-bedroom apartment in Manhattan and stretches out her arms,
I'm fully touching both walls.
So yeah, it's tiny, but it's in the very desirable East Village and only $1,750 a month. When Hill moved in last April, New York City rents were cratering.
So like many New Yorkers, I took advantage of a COVID pricing.
But that good deal is coming to an end. She just found out this April, her rent will jump almost 50% to $2,600.
I am a crier, so I cried a lot because this is like the apartment where I became an adult, and I like cannot afford to stay in this neighborhood.
This is the housing inflation disconnect. To people like Tess Hill, that official 3% figure is laughable. Igor Popov is chief economist at Apartment List, a rental listing site. He says it all comes down to whose rents are being measured.
The official government sources that underline the Consumer Price Index, those are getting after the price that all Americans are paying for shelter at any given month.
And for most Americans, rent is stable month to month. It only changes when they sign a new lease.
What many private sources like ours at Apartment List are tracking are the rents that are paid for new leases for those that are signing new leases in the market right now.
It's those rents, he says, that have risen 18% in the past year.
And that's basically taking us from the very bottom of the pandemic dip to the very top of the market that we're seeing now. But most Americans did not get their lease renewed at the bottom of the market and are not renewing their lease at the top of the market.
As more people move and sign new leases, Popoff expects the recent increases to start showing up more in the CPI. And that matters because the CPI influences government policy and benefits like Social Security. Mickey Levy is chief economist at Berenberg Capital Markets.
The Consumer Price Index isn't just an observation about inflation. It's a policy variable that's very, very important.
And the biggest component of the CPI, almost a third of it, is shelter. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
On Wall Street today, more up than down, though we will see what they have to say when they say that inflation number tomorrow. Details, numbers, when we get there. Company that a lot of us have probably never heard of until right about now, and that includes me, was just valued at almost $2.5 billion. Project 44 is the company. It's a startup, and it just raised $240 million in funding at that $2.5 billion valuation. Because why? Because it helps other companies track shipments through the global supply chain, the latest entrant in the supply chain improvement industry. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore is on the How Stuff Gets Where It's Going desk today.
So I ran up the street to get some of my favorite protein bars from the store.
They do not have the one that I want.
So I got the super gross one instead because I was hungry.
So I knew they would be out because they're always out. They always have the peanut butter flavor that no one likes, but they don't have the good one, which is the chocolate one.
The reason that something doesn't show up on the store shelf, there can be a lot of reasons for that.
Ed Baraball is a partner at McKinsey. He says one reason can be a kind of blindness on the part of a manufacturer in understanding the supply chain that they are a part of.
Understanding not who just their immediate suppliers are, the people they buy from, but their supplier supplier and their supplier supplier supplier.
Like sometimes your protein bar can be all ready to go, but then the people who make your wrappers ghost you and you didn't see it coming.
Over 90% of companies say that they would like to improve their supply chain resilience, but only 2% of companies say they feel like they have the visibility they need.
Because sometimes your suppliers don't want to tell you who their suppliers are. Sometimes it's a business secret. And in normal times, that was usually fine. But after a trade war and a pandemic, it is definitely not fine anymore. And an entire industry is arising to help businesses see their supply chains better. Some provide software, some use big data and AI.
If you tell me what supply chain you want to map, I'll give you a picture of that from the outside.
These companies are sometimes valued in the billions of dollars, and manufacturers are also just plain paying more attention and asking more questions about their supply chains. Eric Oak is a senior trade analyst with S&P Global.
The future of supply chains really is this visibility. It's being able to know where your goods are at all times, what your suppliers are planning.
Which means that a couple years from now, when all of this is behind us, we might have much better supply chains. And I can have my chocolate protein bars. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
I talk to small business owners on this program all the time. And while they are all interesting and teach me something about how this economy works, some of them stick with you more than others. Thus, it is with the cheese lady, who I went to see for the first time a little bit more than a year ago over at LA's Grand Central Market when things were, for her, not great.
If things go how they are this week, we could make payroll, and then that's probably it. Also just seems so crazy that it's this weird fog of like, no, this will be okay. We'll be okay. But the reality is like, no, it's bad. And so many people that come by, that's their first question. Oh my gosh, are you doing okay?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the hardest question to answer because we're not doing okay.
Lydia Clark is her name. She runs DTLA Cheese at Grand Central Market. It's kind of an indoor-outdoor food stall and vendor space. She does cheeses, obviously wines and sandwiches too. And that is where we started when I went back to see her the other day.
Here it is, DTLA Cheese. Oh, you know what? I totally blew it. I already had breakfast. I made such a huge mistake. I should have gotten a sandwich here. That was so stupid.
You can always have second breakfast, early lunch,
late lunch. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm still here. I feel healthy. I feel strong. I feel full of cheese, you know.
So let me get the basics out of the way. How's business?
Yeah. I'm still here.
You're still here, which honestly, I mean, you know, so look, as I said in the introduction of this piece, we talk about you from time to time, and it's always, I wonder how the cheese lady's doing. No offense, right?
Yeah, no, I love that.
It was kind of a toss-up, I thought, as to whether or not you'd still be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I don't feel like we're still, like, totally in the clear. But it does feel so good that I get to wake up and do this every day.
Look, you're clearly a person for whom the attitude of this business means a lot, right?
Yeah.
Being positive. How do you do that when, I mean, you can't possibly be profitable?
No, Yeah, definitely not. I think you just do it day by day. It's like, I get to wake up today and I get to do it today. If I look back at what we've done through this past years, it feels overwhelming in that, like, wow, I'm so resilient. I'm so strong. Our crew is so incredible. And if I look to the future, it feels terrifying of like, oh my gosh, like what is going to happen?
Yeah.
But I have the confidence and I think the strength, and we're going to figure something out.
But let me ask you this. How much longer, or are you not even thinking how much longer can you do this? You're just doing it.
No, yeah. I think if you think that, then it becomes overwhelming. And then it becomes like, I don't think I have it in me. And that's a little bit difficult when you have to plan for holidays and all of these things. And it's like, oh, everything's on a delay and this price increased, you know. I mean, it's almost laughable when we think when we first started to talk, it was about a 10 to 25% tariff.
Right.
And we thought that would close us.
Right.
We didn't know how we would do that. And now it's like, look at everything that we've done and every hoop we've jumped through. And like, I still love what I do.
So brass tacks,
you're
not profitable.
No.
You had to cut the size of your staff.
Yep.
Did you take a pay cut?
Yeah.
I know I said I wasn't going to ask you this again, but how much longer can you keep doing this?
Till I can't. Till the wheels fall off.
Wow.
Till there's no cheese to be had, you know? Like, I think I feel so hopeful still. Our cheesemakers are still making cheese, you know? The cows are still grazing on those beautiful grasses. Like,
And when you can't not milk the cows, right? You got to milk the cows to make the cheese, right?
Yeah, like, this is still happening. There's still somebody wrapping that cheese, putting it on a, like, truck or a boat or a plane and hoping that it gets to downtown Los Angeles. And I still get to open up that wheel of cheese and, like, serve it to my community.
So here comes a total supply chain geek question, but is the supply chain a problem for you?
Yes.
Can you get... Oh, really?
Yeah, there's nothing that's easy.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Supply chains are all messed up, like, from even, like, napkins and bags that we used to use and cheese paper and not even just what we actually are selling, but even the things to put it in, that thing that goes out the door. So it's a constant pivot. Well, what could we use? What can we, like, be resourceful? Like, what do we have? How can we change this? Like,
is it, this is a weird question, but roll with it. Is it lonely?
No. Cheese is really friendly.
Okay.
I have, like,
I just, it's, you know, the pressure of this business, right? I mean...
I mean, I have a wonderful partner. My sister and I still FaceTime.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the other shop, too, it's like, I think we used to, for a while there, we're going back and forth, and that felt like, okay, like, cool, we can be able to, like, help each other. And then with now Omicron, like, all this, it's kind of like tighten those reins again, keep our crews, like, safe and no crossover. So it's like, I don't know. So
but,
it's
but
like,
you have to believe those days are going to come again, right?
Yes. And it's like, so riding those waves, and instead of feeling sad for what I don't have, I feel glad for what I do have.
All right, come on, sell me some cheese.
All
right.
Yes.
So I had one last time that was like wrapped in birch bark or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Let's do that, dude.
Okay. So that one, and then pick me something.
I mean, look at, I mean, it's like, these are all my, like, friends. It's all like, right. who gets to go home with Kai? let's see.
That's a whole different show. Anyway.
I would say Pecora Nocciolo.
Okay.
There in the back, also from Wisconsin.
Right. I need, like,
both of them.
Like, not like a, I need like
a quarter pound.
Yeah, okay, a quarter pound.
I'm going to cut your cheese.
Okay.
Do you want to come
you
back?
Go.
Do you want to cut some cheese?
Oh, God. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, fun, right?
All right. All right, wait, I got to wash my hands.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
We're going to cut
some
cheese.
I'm a cheesemonger.
Yeah.
How about that?
I mean, we are, like, we've just hired a new person, but we're always looking for some new people, you know?
Look, if this radio gig doesn't work out, you know. Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to find something besides cheesemongering, I think. That was Lydia Clark at DTLA Cheese down at Grand Central Market just the other day. Coming up.
You go home and you have not had a hard day, you've not done your job.
I mean, I think that's fair, right? First, though, let's do the numbers. Dow Industrials up 183 points today, 0.5%, 36,252. The NASDAQ up 210 points, about 1.4%, 15,153. The S&P 500 added 42 points, 0.9%, 47.13 there. Supermarket chain Albertsons dropped 9.7% today, despite posting better than expected third quarter earnings. Chipmaker Advanced Micro Devices clicked up 4%. Heard from Amy Scott earlier about rising rents. The government-sponsored loan company Freddie Mac just released a report predicting that rents for multifamily properties are going to rise in all markets this year. Freddie's 2022 multifamily outlook says it's because of strong demand and an improving economy. Bond prices were up. Yield on the 10-year T-note down just a tiny little bit, 1.74% on the 10-year. You're listening to Marketplace. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts. This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The Internal Revenue Service is going to start processing 2021 tax returns in about 2 weeks. January the 24th is the date. And spoiler alert, it's going to be messy. Messier than usual, I mean, because the IRS also says it's not going to be able to handle all the questions sure to be coming in with what they expect to be record call volume and what they know to be staff shortages. So, word to the wise, maybe call your accountant now, because we've called ours. Well, the one we're following in our series about the American labor force, it's called the United States of Work. His name is Michael Durant. He lives in New York City with his younger brother, AJ. Also, Michael's a law student. Here you go.
Okay, I'm just waiting for, I hear a fire truck in the distance. So I'm just waiting for that to pass. Okay. Early in December, I ventured out to my first networking event in forever at a restaurant, which everyone had to be fully vaccinated, and yet someone still tested positive. So that kind of put off a little damper on the extracurriculars. But then New Year's, I tested positive. Luckily, I had no symptoms. Just decided to take a precautionary test before having friends come over. But I've been very blessed with not having any symptoms. Work has been consistently busy, so it's not where it's that weight over your shoulders, but it's had a nice flow to it. There's a lot of guidance still needed for a lot of stuff, but the PPP loans are going through and those are being forgiven. We're actually watching a few Supreme Court cases that involve taxing jurisdiction for remote work. And so that's something the entire profession is just waiting to see, because it'll really change the game for everywhere. Working from home, I do enjoy the fact that I have no commute time and that, you know, I recaptured part of my day. But it did, you know, visiting the old neighborhood, I call it the old neighborhood, but going back to the office to pick stuff up or drop stuff off or whatever, and you visit your old bagel shop. And it makes me wonder, it's like, should I go back to the office more for others than myself? School, last year, this is it for me. Doing my last classes in the fall, bar prep, January. So February 2023, I should be done with everything. I'm not slowing down. This is like that last sprint of the marathon where I'm just giving it all I got. And of course, my brother finished his first semester at college as well. And I'm so proud of him. I am. He did pretty well in school, you know, definitely way better than I ever did my first semester of college. He's hoping to transfer next year to a large four-year school somewhere far out of state and pursue his career. Seems that this year will be a little bit easier, but I'm always up for a surprise.
Michael Durant, our CPA in NYC, one of the 10 people we're following in our series, The United States of Work. It's almost two full years now since the pandemic really started hitting this economy. And in that time, nursing homes and assisted living facilities have lost more than 400,000 jobs, data courtesy of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And it seems we have not yet found the bottom. From WPLN in Nashville, Blake Farmer reports that nursing home help wanted signs, they are not doing a whole lot of good.
Go around the corner for me.
Walk your feet along, too.
Patsy Wilkerson and Ashley Rose are occupational therapists at Knollwood Manor, helping a patient down the hall to work on her motor skills. There's several rungs up the ladder of the nursing home hierarchy, but right now they're pulling double and triple duty, making beds and feeding residents, the job of entry-level certified nursing assistants.
Well, we have a running joke between us that we're CNA assistants.
But down from yes, CNAs. We're CNA assistants.
Yeah. We're certified nursing assistants.
There just aren't enough assistants on staff anymore, so they're trying to keep their spirits up, making light of their expanded duties in this nursing home, which is the only one in this old tobacco town of Lafayette, Tennessee. Until the last few years, it was an employer that never lacked for job applicants, and people stayed a long time. Wilkerson says for those who remain, it's a calling.
If you work in a nursing home and you go home and you have not had a hard day, you've not done your job.
And right now, there are much easier ways to make money. Even in a small farming town, many employers are hiring and even raising pay. One CNA just left to be a grocery store clerk. Rose says fast food places are paying more, too.
When you have Chick-fil-A starting out at $19 an hour for no training and full time, that's more than a CNA will make.
At this facility, CNAs start at $13 an hour. So in the current job market, not only are there very few people inquiring about jobs, but some are leaving without warning. Other CNAs like Cindy Brewster have to pick up the slack, staying past their shift or coming in early.
I know the struggle it is for my coworkers to have to work when somebody calls out and there's nobody to take care of these patients.
Running short-staffed really isn't an option either, because regulators could show up for an inspection at any time, and low staffing is a big violation. The problem is, nursing home administrators say they can't afford to pay more. Many are having trouble keeping up their resident numbers, which means less cash flow, and they really need more help than usual because of additional pandemic duties, like periodic COVID tests for everyone in the building.
I gotta swab your nose really fast, okay? Will that be all right?
Right now, we're taking it day to day. I know that we can't go on forever this way.
Linda Austin is the co-owner and administrator of Knollwood Manor. She says her facility, with 49 beds, received grants from the federal government to get through 2020, but it wasn't until 2021 that the staffing shortage became so critical. She says everyone is spent, and she feels bad asking anyone to work more overtime. What they need is time off. Austin is helping lobby for state money to help nursing homes raise pay.
We're just hoping for some help and hoping that things are going to get better. We keep thinking there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel.
But right now, there's Omicron and a fresh round of nursing home outbreaks, making the growing number of job openings that much harder to fill. In Lafayette, Tennessee, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
This final note on the way out today, in which the Federal Trade Commission wins one over Facebook. A U.S. District Court judge ruled today that the commission's antitrust lawsuit against the company can, in fact, go ahead, despite Facebook's protestations that FTC Chair Lina Khan had already made up her mind about the matter, citing her academic writings about big tech's monopoly power. It is important to note here, see also the years-long antitrust cases against AT&T Microsoft, that we are a long way from anywhere in anything actually happening in this whole thing. All right, we're done. Here, though, is your moment of economic context. Comes to us from Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JPMorgan Chase, about whom a lot of people have a lot of opinions, yes. But he said this today on Fox Business, which is actually some pretty good economic context. It's much worse to complain about 15% unemployment and a recession, Dimon said, than it is to complain about wages going up too fast, which is true. Our digital and on-demand team includes Carrie Barber, Siobhan Brett, Dylan Mietinen, Janet Wynn, Olga Oxman, Donna Tam, and Tony Wagner. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.